what are the most favoured types of content that B2B marketing teams are repurposing and why? Are they repurposing enough? And if not, what's holding them back? And what does the future look like for content marketing? How will it evolve and what are the top leaders predicting? Find out all in this episode. You're listening to the Content 10X podcast, where it's all about content repurposing. I'm Amy Woods, and I'm here to help you maximize your content and find smart ways to get your message in front of more of the right people, whilst also saving time. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to the Content 10X podcast. I'm your host, Amy Woods, and I am joined once again by the fantastic Hayley Evans, my co-host. Welcome, Hayley. It's great to have you back.
Hi, Amy. It's great to be back. I'm looking forward to this one. Second in the questioning of you.
Exactly. Another, well, not grilling, more of a conversation, isn't it? But this is area that we love because we're focusing today on content repurposing and also talking about the evolution of B2B content marketing as well, aren't we? And it's building on from sharing what the leaders over on our other show, B2B Content Strategist, have been talking about. So yeah, Hayley, you're going to be kind of asking me a little bit, and I'm sure sharing your insights as we go along as well, aren't you?
A little bit. I think we might be doing a lot of bits, but it was such a great last episode. If you missed it, then check it out. It was episode number 341, and you can find it at content10x/341. And it was all about B2B marketing teams. So everything about their structure, what is being kept in-house, what's being outsourced and more. And it's really from all the conversations that, Amy, you've been having over the past 10 months with the top 20 B2B marketing leaders on our sister show, B2B Content Strategist. If you haven't listened to it, it's definitely worth listening to the podcast as well. We absolutely love it and we have some great leaders on it. But we also decided that because there was so much information on there, it's absolutely gold. Really great key themes that have been emerging, it really would be a remiss not to share it and bring it over here on the Content 10X podcast, which is why we spent the last episode asking those kind of key questions. And then this week, we're also going to be asking some more.
It's kind of funny, really, because it really is repurposing at its finest, because we're repurposing content. Well, we're repurposing thoughts and ideas that were shared over on B2B Content Strategist here on the Content 10X podcast, talking about repurposing tips. So we're practicing what we preach, and it's going to be fantastic. And like you said, Hayley, we've done this before, last episode 340. In that one, well, actually two episodes, episode 340, we looked at the things that were being said about AI. So what tools are people using? What are we using AI for? What are we avoiding AI usage for? Like we talked about concerns that people have and whether policies are in place. And that was a great reflection on AI. And then last episode 341 on the Content 10X podcast, we looked at marketing teams, didn't we? So how are we structuring our marketing teams? What are we looking to keep in-house? What are we looking to outsource and so on? So do check that out if you haven't already, our last episode. And then obviously, like we said, we're moving over here to content repurposing and also looking at what people think of the future of content and content marketing as well, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those previous two episodes are absolutely fundamental for anybody in marketing to listen to and super helpful. We've had some great feedback that it really helps a hand in terms of planning and letting your team aware of what other kind of companies are doing, how they're working with AI, how they're planning their marketing teams and in-house and outsourcing. So we definitely recommend to listen to those. But obviously, this one's all about content repurposing. And Amy, I know you love to talk about it. So I guess let's start with kind of a broad question. What's the general consensus? You know, are people repurposing their content? Are they repurposing enough?
So I would say that lots of content repurposing is taking place. It's definitely high on the agenda. There's huge awareness. Now, when I look to the last couple of seasons of B2B Content Strategist, this is the third season we've just run this year. we started it in, I think it was 2022, actually, with season one. I wouldn't say that it was as high on the agenda as it is now. So I think that's brilliant to hear. General consensus was that repurposing is good, lots of great examples that we're going to dig into, but that people could repurpose more. I feel that hasn't changed from way back when I started speaking to people. Awareness high, awareness that they should do it more, super high. So definitely that is a consensus. Lots of it happening, but a general feeling of we should and we can do it more.
So what do you think is holding them back?
I think it's the balance of this pressure for what next. So balancing that with the strategic need to extend the life of the good content that's already been created, it's not always easy to convince stakeholders that the best approach here is to actually, you know, review the content that we've created and maximize it and repurpose it more, when perhaps what they think the best approach is to do that next blog post or that next webinar or look at more. So I think that a big thing, apart from what you would expect things to do with, team and skills and capacity and all of that, it's that they're just balancing that pressure for what next versus extending the life and convincing stakeholders as well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's really not surprising, is it? And it does help if in terms of this, that they have really good use cases in terms of data and analytics to back up that power of repurposing. If you've got examples of a repurposed blog that you've done versus a new blog and, you know, how that's performed as well. I know that's something that we really do help our clients with. And, you know, I know something that we've discussed at length is also having a plan for repurposing. When you develop the plan to create the content for the first place, it almost all comes as one package. We really focus on that, don't we?
Yeah, I think it, as my many catchphrases over the years, I could probably have a t-shirt that says, don't let repurposing be an afterthought, like make it core to your strategy, make it part of the plan from the get-go. So when you're planning a content campaign, let's say that you're planning the next webinar series or the next podcast series or something like that, that you, I guess, like you're not just getting approval and buy-in for the podcast and the webinars or the white paper, but the repurposing plan that comes firmly with it, like this is what we are going to do. And then as we know as well, if you plan the repurposing in the early stages, before you've actually created the content, you go into repurpose, you're going to have better repurposing as well, because it's planned. Therefore, the content that you create, you might create slightly differently because you've got that repurposing in mind. So I think that is a big thing. And then, you know, as you said as well, if you've got use cases and then you can share what this plan is likely to achieve based on past performance and things like that, that is going to help as well. So I think B2B marketing teams are getting better. Like I said, far, far better than when I started this podcast, but also just in the 8 years of Content 10X, it was a little used term, and now it's a well used and highly regarded term and business practice, really.
I mean, I feel like it's everywhere on my LinkedIn feed. But it's great to see that people are talking about content repurposing so much. And I think, you know, there's that old, not so old phrase of, you know, getting the most bang for your buck. And with thinking about content repurposing at the beginning, you're literally getting as much as you can out of your content. So it's a better use of team's time and spend, really. So I guess in terms of it, what are you finding that people are repurposing? When you ask what is their favorite content to repurpose, what are you really hearing?
There was near universal agreement that large, like data-driven or research-based assets, so things like benchmark reports and proprietary research, industry surveys, are really valuable starting point. These assets, you can, what I was just saying, really, you can systematically then repurpose them. So the big pieces of content like a benchmark report, proprietary research, they can go on to become blog posts, webinars, infographics, social snippets, sales collateral, sales material, and so much more. So it was a big focus on the big, like especially research-based and data-driven type of assets, those kind of content.
Yeah, oh God, we know this all too well, don't we? And it's our absolute favorite type of content that that we help our clients repurpose, really. I mean, do any examples stand out at all for you?
Yeah, so we kicked off a great conversation in episode one of season three with Katie Morley, at the time was at Content Square. So she said her most successful campaign was this big annual benchmark report, which was built on proprietary data. So it was a big pillar asset. So she spoke about how they broke that into industry-specific reports. And as I mentioned, they were able to run webinars discussing the report and do press releases and events and social campaigns. So she discussed how that was good for driving demand and pipeline and brand awareness. So all areas of the funnel, which is what we love to hear. And then Lou Bachursky, episode three, she also spoke about reports when asking her favorite type of content to repurpose. And she discussed the duration of the content as well. So she said, you know, they had big global reports that they were able to repurpose into over half a year of content. And, you know, we've certainly got experience of being able to even extend beyond that, really, if it's evergreen content. And then something I loved that Luba said as well was talking about a big global report and then actually the repurposing into country-specific versions of that report as well. I thought that was great. I'd like to share now, though, a clip from the conversation with Amy Higgins. Fast forward from episode one and three that I just mentioned to the last episode of the series, episode 20. Amy runs content at Cloudflare, and here's what she had to say.
So we launched not a third party survey, but a first party data report called the Signals Report, Security Signals Report, that kind of morphed into a life of its own. And once it morphed into this big, heavy piece, my team, we took it apart and developed different things. So we have thought leadership articles, we have an entire series on our podcast and Cloudflare TV. And from that report alone, just with those two simple activations, our conversion rate from how many people can actually see a landing page to how many people actually fill out the form is normally like around 2%. This report in the first 3 months, it's close to 10%. And so I'm using that as a case study. Like, this is just like barely touching the surface. So we're doing these massive surveys. Right now I'm in the application modernization survey where we have interviewed using Qualtrics, so using a third party, interviewed over 2,000 VP and above security leaders. So CIOs, CTOs, CSOs. Over half are probably in the C-suite from our respondents right now. And we're analyzing that data and then producing 200 pieces of content off of it. So there's the global report, the EMEA report, the APAC report, 23 country report, 5 different vertical reports, and each of those verticals are then localized to each of the regions. A whole thought leadership series on Cloudflare TV and the blog, a whole thought leadership gated asset, webinars, customer interviews, offsets on AI and offsets on AppSec, which is application security. So like huge project. And those are my favorite because you get something really meaty and interesting, which to me is data. And then you can pull the levers on that data for the different audiences and really get niche on what you're talking about.
I mean, what a brilliant example. And, you know, there's so much content from interesting data and we love this so much. And I know, Amy, you're hoping to have Amy back here on the Content 10X podcast to have another interview and dig into it some more. And I mean, I know that we also love repurposing reports too. We've helped our clients with this and we talk about it a lot. So I guess the other thing to mention is to please check out our recent blog post and podcast on this. We've done one and it's called Creating and Repurposing B2B Research and Reports. It's episode number 330. So head to it at content10x.com/330. But yeah, it's a brilliant, brilliant episode. So Amy, what else do people love repurposing?
So other long-form written content, unsurprisingly, White Papers, Miles Carter, episode 14, he spoke about White Papers, as did many guests. E-books as well, so similar kind of thing. Martin Mullay, episode 4 in particular, he talked about an e-book and how that became many blog posts and inspiration for podcast episodes and things like that. So again, I guess, unsurprising to us, but those longer form pieces of written content was also something that cropped up time and time again.
Yeah, and I think on that as well, it's really interesting because it's great that we're seeing content repurposing all over our LinkedIn feeds, people understanding more about content repurposing. But I do think that there is sort of a misconception that content repurposing just has to be long form to short form, and where it can almost actually also be short form to long form and long form to longer form. And I know that's something that we're working with our clients quite a lot, where, you know, we do a lot of thought leadership interviews and we're developing those out into White Papers. So I think that's as well, it's quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is as well. You make a really good point, actually, because if you're interviewing people as we do for content, and you do really meaty interview and you come up with a great, maybe long form cornerstone piece, people may just consider that to be the final long form piece, mightn't they? And then the short form, and like you said, like long form to longer, because we're taking, you know, 10 interviews and turning it into a white paper for our newest client, aren't we? So it's a great thing to do, and you have to think big.
But I think not just that as well, it's also looking at the interviews themselves, because we're also repurposing those interviews on their own too. So it's really interesting when you actually look at, I think we're doing maybe 10 interviews, and it's looking really at how actually not just the collation of those interviews that could become an ebook, but the individual interviews themselves, and actually what you can do. And what we're doing is working alongside their other kind of teams as well to understand and what other information that we can elicit from the interviews that is useful for that annual strategy as well.
Yeah, it's all kind of the gift that keeps on giving, yeah. I guess, isn't it? As long as you've planned it in advance, as we said from the start, there's so much to be gained from that.
Absolutely. I think that's it. It's just really, if we can kind of tell anybody else, it's really key in that planning phase of really, you know, it's great that people have content calendars. We love a content calendar. But actually, when you're looking at the strategic plan, what else can you get from it? What else can you do? If you're interviewing somebody, what other questions can you be asking whilst you've got that person on the call that might be useful to some content strategy that you're doing 3 to 6 months down the line? So yeah, it's a really interesting one. So what else, Amy? What else are you finding?
Unscripted panel discussions for social content, that came up. So especially when we're talking about regulated industries like finance, where, you know, trust and authenticity is so important. It's really like paramount. So Luba Chirsky, coming from a highly regulated industry, the financial industry, she spoke about how she loves these unscripted panel discussions, because I guess it just builds the trust that people aren't sitting there with scripts in front of them and things like that. It's authentic, isn't it? And you get all these magical moments that can then go from an unscripted magical moment into pieces of content that just have a bit more authority and trust, so to speak. So Luba said it really well herself. So I'm going to suggest that we share a clip here from Luba in episode 3 when she talks about these unscripted panel discussions.
I love panel discussions for social. I love doing that. And I think it's not done enough. It's not done effectively. And it might be because sometimes the compliance and approval process is a little heavy. People so often say the most interesting things when they're in a panel discussion in a room with their peers, and they're up there on a stage and they say something. And I love, like personally, I love going to events. I don't do it so much anymore, but I used to do it all the time, is going to events and I hear something. And instead of just writing it down for myself, I would tweet it out, because I was like, that's such a great insight. More people should hear this. And I think, so as content marketers, I think that's another somewhat untapped area, is when people go out to events and say things that are unscripted, but authentic and genuine and interesting.
I mean, I absolutely agree with Luba here. It's the power of conversations. And, you know, I love interviewing experts for that reason. And it's something that I'm really passionate about in terms of, you know, happy when all of my clients come to me with questions that they want answered and bullet points that we need to hit in order to capture the content that we really need to capture. I think that's really important to mention too. But it's very important to also mention Luba's point about unscripted, because, you know, at the end of the interviews, I will come in and ask a couple of questions that they don't know the questions that are about to be asked, and we have more of an unscripted conversation. And I would say 9 times out of 10 they're where we pull our best social content from, because they do tend to be more conversational, less rehearsed, more authentic, as you say. And so, yeah, I mean, whether that's recorded content interview that we do, or maybe you're doing a webinar or a podcast, etc.
And it comes on to all of this, I suppose, could come under this term that Miles Carter talks about. So he explained this as conversational content. Let's listen to what he had to say, actually.
I think conversational content is the type of content that really works and is going to work more and more in the future. Two people, three people, a panel, whatever it might be. There's so many insights coming from that. It can be recycled in so many ways. It can be a master cut. It can be multiple conversations that string together. There's something so flexible about conversation.
So I think he's right here, whether it's a panel, like Luba mentioned that we just said, or these one-on-one podcast interviews, or three people, four people, maybe it's conversations at events, webinars, podcasts that become content. There's just something so flexible about conversational content. So many narratives and assets can come from them. And also Jason Widdop, I loved what he said, because in episode 18 of B2B Content Strategist, he spoke about all the ways that videos can be repurposed. And then he said that, you know, even if it's not a podcast and I'll just jump on a call with someone, I'll record a conversation and start from there. So I thought that was really great, you know, that he was just saying that it's in those conversations, it's in discussion, it's in chat, especially in this world of AI. I'm sure we'll come on to it a little bit more. But when what we're actually saying is good old humans having conversations, talking to each other can be the generator of content. And he even said, you know, I guess like, you know, with consent from the person, let's just record this. Let's get some content from the conversation we're about to have, with no, you know, specific intention for it to be a podcast or webinar or anything, but it's a conversation. It's going to create us some content. And I really like that.
Oh gosh, yeah, absolutely. And I guess it's probably a good time actually to mention that if anybody's listening and you're thinking, do you know what, I really want to do that. I want to jump on a call with somebody and do a recording. How do I do it? We've actually got a free guide for you. So Amy and I also did a 6-part series on the podcast about expert interview episodes. That was back from episode 324 to 329. All about this subject. So if you want to dive deeper, go into that. But if you want to pick up our free guide, it's called The Ultimate Guide to Impactful B2B Video Interviews. And in it, you can get a preparation checklist. So it tells you everything that you need to know about this, guidance on how to deliver your message powerfully, our top tech recommendations, as we know we all love some tech tips too. And there's loads more helpful tips as well from all of us at Content 10X too. So if you want to find it, if you go to content10x.com/interview-guide, you'll find everything there. And as I mentioned again, we'll pop in the show notes where you can find the expert interview series as well to find out a bit more information. So Amy, I know we've spoken a little bit about, you know, bits of content to repurpose. What other specific types of content are people loving to repurpose?
So webinars came up again and again. So they do seem to have had quite a big comeback since the pandemic, I would say. So it's unsurprising, and we have just done a series on this as well, haven't we? So I'm going to share a clip from Kieran Regan, where I spoke to him in episode 8. At the time, he was CMO at BizDesign and a client that we've been working with, helping them with their webinar. So it was really useful to speak to him when we've been involved in their webinar program as well. So here he's talking about what they do with live webinars.
The webinar format continues to be extremely valuable and beneficial for us, but we execute it in a series. So we might continue to run the theme or topic over a number of months in a series of webinars. And then we take that live webinar, which is part of an overall theme with relevant topics. And then we repurpose that into various formats to ensure that we reach the widest percentage of our audience possible. So we might repurpose that into an on-demand version, maybe ungated blogs, of course. We create community posts. So we find our audience is present on certain industry communities. So we ensure we distribute the content produced from that webinar in those channels as well. Smaller video snippets are quite successful as well. And then we often create maybe a high value gated asset from that content, then distribute that through paid means. So that allows us to really ensure that we are unlocking the full potential of the content that we have created, getting as much out of it as possible, and then ensuring it reaches the widest possible audience.
It really is amazing to hear how so much value can come from a live webinar, you know, and also awesome how they repurpose across gated and organic and paid channels too. And I know you mentioned just before, it feels like we're like, by the way, we've done this like great mini series. We also did another great mini series as well, but we really did. There was a 7-part mini series that we've done here on the Content 10X podcast, all about B2B webinars. We'll pop the link in the show notes. But part of it was we also did a really useful resource. It's called the B2B Webinar Planning Playbook, and you can find it at content10x.com/webinar-guide. And in it includes all of the information that you need to know about running a webinar. Within our podcast series, we also did a great interview with our clients, Steve Jones and Lauren Franklin from Fidelity too. And I can't wait to have them on again. They were absolutely brilliant guests. And yeah, for all of the highlights on what the B2B content strategist guest said, we even did a podcast episode sharing all of them. So that was episode 332, and you can find it at content10x.com/332. We've done a great blog post too, so if you prefer reading that, have a look at that. But yeah, I would definitely recommend listening to those mini series. It's something that Amy and I have absolutely loved doing with everybody listening, is diving deep into expert interviews, diving deep into webinars. We've got another one coming up soon, which we'll be talking about at the end of this one. But we've absolutely loved doing them and think they're really useful for anybody listening to go deep into the subject too. So Amy, what other types of contents are favourites for repurposing?
Well, we already mentioned really when we were talking about conversational content as a whole, but of course, like, we'd be remiss not to say about podcasts. So still super popular, I would say becoming more so as well. People are definitely seeing the value of podcasts and the value of their repurposing potential as well. So we've been banging the drum about B2B podcasts for a long time, and producing podcasts, launching them with our clients, and we have our own as well. So it's good to hear more people are realizing the value. Camille Trent, who was previously a client of ours, actually, we launched a podcast with her when she was back at Dooley. So she kind of talked about how podcasts are so valuable, and that she sees that they can sometimes double up as research as well. So podcasts, you know, having these conversations with people and their content and the research. I thought that was a really good point, extending value beyond content repurposing to just another purpose entirely. And obviously we acknowledge that there's loads of work that goes into a podcast as well, lots of specialist skills. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, how do some people do it? Go back and listen to our last episode on the Content 10X podcast, episode 341, because when we had discussions about what do people outsource, podcast was definitely one of those things that people often look to get help with. Like I said, we help our clients with podcasts. So it can be something that if you're thinking of doing and you see the repurposing potential and other potential as well and want support with it, then, you know, you may want to look to outsource. I'd also just like to highlight on the whole topic of podcasts, what Michelle Asher said in episode 16. So Michelle, she's the Director of Public Relations and Marketing at Lenkey Technologies, and they have this really great podcast called 22 Minutes in Lending. And it's exactly as it says on the tin. It's a 22-minute podcast about lending topics. And just listen to what she had to say when I asked her what her favorite content is to repurpose.
I would say the podcast. Our podcast, we're able to pull quotes. We're able to do mini videos and shorts. We're able to do, you know, there, we're able to put things in our newsletter, to put things in B2B emails, marketing emails. We're able to pull so many insights and so many pieces of content from just one 22 minute. It's our podcast is 22 minutes in lending. It's very specific to people's attention span is typically only 22 minutes. So that's why some people sometimes ask why we had such a random specific number, but it was based on people's attention span. But it's amazing how many pieces of content you can pull from 22 minutes.
I mean, she's completely right. And it is amazing how much content you can get from 22 minutes of content, really. It does all come down to the planning, preparation, and having that repurposing plan in place. But also, I think it's really interesting to draw upon if you're not sure about maybe if a podcast is right for you as well. We have a brilliant case study from our previous clients, Hatchworks, who actually launched a podcast. And it was interesting because from the experience, they didn't see that there was a lot of speaking opportunities that came out from actually having their podcast. So it was a kind of like foundational platform for them to be able to venture into those things as well. So it's not just about the repurposing, it's about the opportunities as well from that repurposing too. So definitely would say also, you know, Amy and I are always happy to chat to anybody if you're nervous about, you know, starting a podcast, you know, we can definitely support in that way too. So, I mean, we've chatted about conversational content and webinars and events and podcasts. What about blogs?
Yeah, so, you know, despite what some people may say, like blogging definitely isn't dead at all. It came up a lot, especially in B2B, of course, blogs are still strong. I wouldn't say it came up as a favourite content to repurpose, really, though. That probably didn't feature in asking that one question. But we had conversations, unsurprisingly, about things like turning blogs into email newsletter content. I think that's a bit of a no-brainer if you've got recent blog posts that you can repurpose that into content for a newsletter. Also incorporating blog content into customer journeys, turning blogs into user-generated content style videos for social, I thought was really interesting. So yeah, they came up, but I wouldn't say they were the top idea for repurposing. Just because either longer form written content is going to give you more of it repurposing opportunities. And then of course, like video, podcast, things like that, that those conversations have got more dimensions to them. I like to call out what Jess Larkin said though. So she said something quite unique. It didn't come up in any other conversation. She talked about repurposing one-to-many assets into one-to-one ABM assets. That was interesting. So white papers, things like that, some written content that has been created for a large audience. And then the marketing team having ABM marketing plans, taking that content and then turning it into an ABM piece of content, maybe with a client-specific intro and client-specific references throughout, so that it can then be given to that client in an ABM mode as this is being created for you. So I thought that was really good, one-to-many to one-to-one, repurposing something slightly different that Jess mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. And it's good that repurposing is taking place. And I think Jess Larkin's point is really important too, like you mentioned. So I guess, what do you find out in terms of repurposing processes itself?
So it definitely felt like the more mature teams have established processes for breaking down core assets into a variety of different formats and channels. So they do have established processes for repurposing. And this includes the pre-planning repurposing opportunities before the content asset is created, structuring the webinars and reports and things like that. So it was great to hear, you know, that there are established processes. Shannon Howard, she cautioned against what she called checkbox marketing, or rather checkbox repurposing. This is where she was talking about you have these processes that just mean that every asset is atomized into every possible format, and that's being followed regardless of value or, you know, what the content is. So instead, you know, she talked about repurposing only when that derivative content can stand alone and deliver unique value to the audience, and then making sure the repurposing is channel specific. So we had good conversations about processes are important, but don't just follow the same process and end up sort of ticking check boxes along the way when you repurpose, which I do find on LinkedIn in particular, when people give repurposing a bit of a hard time, they're basically referring to people who only repurpose in that checkbox way without really giving any thought to it as such. So that was, you know, a very good point. I would also like to mention what Catherine Sensor said too. So she didn't really see format as the question of whether to repurpose or not. So when I asked her about perfect format and processes, what did they do? She said it's not a question of content format, but it's all about substance. So have a little listen to this because I think Catherine explains her views really well.
I am actually agnostic about form. What I am not agnostic about is content. I need substance to work with. I can endlessly repurpose and repackage anything as long as the substance is there. So if you give me a PowerPoint, if you give me a bullet point list, I can make that into almost anything. I can make it into blogs. I can make it into a video script. I can make it into a white paper, an infographic, you name it. What I can't invent is substance. So really, that's where the fluff is the easy part. The packaging is the easy part. The hard part is the thought leadership and the substance. So once that's established and once that's built in, I can run with it.
Yeah, I mean, I really couldn't agree anymore. You know, it's something that we are very passionate about in, you know, really saying that deep original content is what enables high volume repurposing. You know, the format, video, blog, white paper, etc. is secondary. The best produced podcast episode or webinar or well-written white paper in the world still won't be great for repurposing if it doesn't have any substance to it. And I also agree with Shannon, you must segment by audience and channel. That's literally always our approach first as well. And it comes back to as well, not that checkbox repurposing plan. We're not talking about like, here is the plan that we need to repurpose everything into. It needs to be every single piece that we do needs to be 7 great images and 2 carousels and one. It doesn't work like that. You need to plan per content what specifically you're doing and look at the social first angle of it as well. If you're doing the white paper and you're doing these thought leadership interviews, what is the social angle? How are you going to repurpose it? What do you need to record? So it all comes in that upfront like planning. I think we look at the difference between a plan without a repurposing plan first versus a plan with a repurposing plan. And the output of the valuable repurposed content is so vastly different. So probably hear it in my voice. Could not agree with her more.
Passionate, agree.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess let's finish off by talking about the evolving role of content in B2B marketing and the future outlook as well. Because I know over on B2B Content Strategist, so many things were great, like so many great things were said, but what really jumped out for you?
Well, I'd say thankfully for us, definitely content is seen as a strategic lever. I guess we were talking to content leaders in B2B organizations, so you might not hear that if you spoke to a business that didn't even have a person with that role. But it's very much kind of seen as a strategic lever. It's increasingly positioned as a driver of pipeline, of brand differentiation and customer loyalty. It's not all about that top of funnel awareness. I would say that in terms of the evolving role, there were conversations about hybrid buyer journeys and how teams are adapting their content strategies to support longer and more complex B2B buyer journeys. Like I said, not just all about top of funnel awareness, but with assets tailored for the different stages from the early education to even post-sale enablement. And this is something we help our clients with, isn't it? Thinking about the different types of content for the different stages in the buyer journey and the audience journey.
Oh, hugely, hugely. This is when we talk about this a lot in terms of our content strategy that we do and in terms of our repurposing plan, because I think it's really important that, you know, you have a repurposing plan as such. You have those pieces, those assets of content that you're going to be using. But there is a storyline and there is a message for different audience types. So do look at that piece of content and think, okay, if this piece of content is directed towards somebody who's top of funnel, what's the message that's going to go along versus bottom of funnel? We have the same story, but different messaging for awareness pieces versus consideration pieces. And I think that's where it's really important that you can serve that same piece of content with different messaging. And it's really important as part of your strategy. So don't look at that one piece of content in a silo. Make sure you're looking at that one piece of content and thinking, where am I placing it? Who am I placing it to? If I'm serving it as a kind of awareness piece, when can I then put it out as part of a strategy, as a consideration piece? And how do I just tweak that messaging ever so slightly? Because again, it's going back to the beginning, more bang for your buck, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was great to hear people talking about that more as well. And I guess it kind of leans into the repurposing for different stages of the funnel. It was really interesting. And to your question as well, I'd say that quality over quantity, unsurprisingly, in a great way, was discussed quite a lot. We all talk about this proliferation of low value AI content, and we know it's out there. It's kind of, you know, quite samey, and people talk about AI slop, don't they, and things like that. But it felt like it just caused this more renewed focus on ensuring that there's originality and depth and true thought leadership within our content and what we're doing. And I guess quite clear agreement that the sustainable way to stand out is to focus on that originality and depth. We mentioned earlier about Catherine Sensor and the comment on it all has to have substance. So I guess it builds on from that. So a big differentiator in this crowded AI world is that return to quality and return to originality and more breakthrough ideas, saying things that an AI is not going to say because AI only is based on things that have been said before, and how that will lead actually to true audience connection. So B2B teams are really trying to figure that out at the moment and make sure that that's what they're doing for sure.
Absolutely. I think you did a great LinkedIn post the other day actually about it, wasn't it? About how, you know, if you can't be bothered to write it, I'm not going to be bothered to read it. And I think that's really important to remember for any video as well. When we're looking at AI, like you said, it's a holder of previous information, not originality. So yeah, I couldn't agree more on that. So do you have any standout thoughts on future outlook and adaptation?
I guess the key things that I would consider to have been themes throughout all of the conversations when we looked at the future, and I don't think many of these are surprising though, maybe a few. So firstly, the whole shift in search and channels. So how SEO is changing. Leaders are watching how we change our search behavior. We have generative AI search. We've got to adapt our search for this, you know, new world, I guess, of AI powered search, as well as the usual discovery through SEO and organic search. So a lot of thought towards that and adaptation towards the way that we now search for and find content and information that we need. Another thing, personalization and data-driven content. So a massive interest in hyper-personalized content journeys and looking at how to leverage data and automation to get the right messages to people at the right time and make things even more personalized as well. So that came up a lot. B2B becoming more like B2C, mentioned many, many times. Talks about like the return to fundamentals, I suppose. So there's all these technological changes and things like that, which means even more focus on and understanding of our content and having strong beliefs, and from a marketer's perspective, clear measurement as well. You know, all the fundamentals, like let's like get better at that and stick to that, and authentic storytelling. The return to quality, I think, time and time again, really, really standing out. And the rise of this undifferentiated AI content where we can just go above it. Paul Way, he spoke about voice as the next big differentiator. So talking about AI generated content and sameness, he said, your voice can become your brand. So the style, the human side, the funny side, natural writing, that's going to cut through. So voice as a differentiator is something that Paul believed in, being a human voice that is natural and witty and tells stories and things like that. So all of those all came up and really are like what people are kind of saying in the future outlook. And also when we spoke about conversational content, a future outlook with this renewed appetite for the for real conversations through live events as well, through community building and content creation. Jason would have talked about how he'd love to combine content interviews with mountain hikes, like hiking in the mountain. So, you know, he talked about how he'd love to have a drone or a videographer or something to follow and bring together his love of the outdoors and nature with exercise and walking to content creation and hike out in the mountains. But I love that because that kind of, I think, you know, lastly on this future outlook, as well as all this talk about being differentiated and voice and things like that, the word was community and being more in person or at least live, if online, like live type raw authentic type content and live events in person too. So I think there's lots of great things there. I think it's lots to look forward to and just making sure that people focus on the positive through that in terms of the content creation.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I do remember that part of Jason's episode very well, and I absolutely loved it. And I think it's a great idea too, and really authentic. And I think it boils down to everything that you said, is that just remembering that people connect to people, you know, it's that human connection, whether it's through human writing or whether it's through live events, it's that people connection that we're really looking for. But I think across like this, it feels like the themes seem to reflect quite like a sophisticated, pragmatic, audience-centric approach to B2B content marketing. And it's great to see that there is such an emphasis on that authenticity and that quality over quantity, which, you know, we're very, very passionate about as well. And I know this is going to be achieved if there's also a focus on, you know, the operational excellence side of things and cross-functional alignment, of which we touched on in the last episode, which is really important to listen to as well. And I think just you know, without a doubt, a relentless focus on delivering that real business value at the end of the day. So Amy, thank you so much. But I guess I think we've kind of covered quite a few bits, and probably that's a wrap, isn't it, for this episode?
Yeah, we could keep on for ages, couldn't we? There's so much to talk about, but hopefully that has been really interesting, us just summarizing, you know, what people are repurposing, what their views are on repurposing, and what their views are on the future of content. So hopefully that's been really interesting. And do go and check out these episodes that we've been talking about. If this has piqued your interest and you would like to go and hear some of these conversations, as we mentioned at the start and throughout, we're talking about conversations we've had over on B2B Content Strategist. So you'll find that on any of the podcast apps. They've just searched B2B Content Strategist or head to our website, content10x.com, and you'll be sure to find all the episodes there. And also, Hayley, you mentioned this already, but for quite a few of the topics that we've talked about, we've done a lot of content on these and we've shared a lot of tips and advice and things like that. So we have our B2B webinar playbook. We have our expert interview guide for getting great content from conversations and tips on interviews. So if you actually go to the useful guide section of the Content 10X website, which you'll see in the top menu bar, you'll see all of those guides. And you'll also find on our blog that if you want more than the guides and you want to read some of our more epic kind of cornerstone articles on things like webinars and expert interviews and research as well, we've got a whole huge article on how to repurpose research reports and white papers. It's all over on our blog. So do go check all of our content out. Links will be in the show notes.
Yeah, and if you don't have that much time as well, don't also forget to follow us on our LinkedIn page and our YouTube channel too. We've got some brilliant highlights videos for you, and we've got lots of expert tips and interesting points on repurposing that come out pretty much every single day, so worth a follow as well. And I know we touched on this right at the beginning, but we're also going to be soon recording our series all about content strategy. So we're doing our next deep dive into this series. So if you have anything you want us to cover at all, please get in touch. We absolutely love hearing from you and to making sure that our series are as useful and beneficial as possible. So feel free to email Amy or myself at info@content10x.com or connect with us on LinkedIn too. We're more than happy to hear from you. So yeah, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Hayley, as well. Absolutely great conversation. So thanks so much. And yeah, thanks everyone for listening, and we will catch you in the next one.